Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Well, today you might have heard the word plans a lot, and I love a good plan. Who here is a planner? Are you not planners? I love a good plan. I really do. So when we plan to go on holiday, I kind of have a little folder and it has all the information in. It has all the information about where we're going and I research it, and all the information about how we're going to get there. And I even have plans about what we'll take, and I have plans about what we're going to do when we get there as well. I just love a good plan. And you know, with Hope North London, as well as Church at Five, we do a lot of events, and there the planning comes out again. There are reams of paper with tables and boxes and all sorts of exciting things. I think I know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen and who's going to do something. Most of the time it doesn't happen, but hey, it makes me feel secure that I have that plan there. And you know, I'm like that in ministry as well. You know, I have a plan. I think I know where we're going and how we're going to get there. But it doesn't always work out the way that I've planned. How about you guys? Do you have plans? You know, we have plans for lots of different things, don't we? We have plans for our partners. What's going to happen in our partner's life? I remember when I was first married to Mark, my plan for him was that he was going to go to Bible college and be a church leader. That was my plan. It wasn't God's plan. It was my plan. But we all have plans, don't we? Even if they're unspoken, for our partners. And then if we have kids, we have plans for our kids. You know, we think what school we want them to go to and maybe what uni that it would be good for them. We have plans maybe about what they will achieve in their lives. Lots and lots of plans. And then we have plans for our family. What kind of family are we going to be? Whether that's our nuclear family or our wider family, things that we want for our nearest and our dearest. And then there's the big one, isn't there? If I can find it. Oh, our job. We have plans for our job. We have plans maybe for promotion in our job. You know, where we're going to be in 5 years' time in our job. What qualifications we will have gained. Maybe where we will be in 10 years' time. Maybe we'll be the CEO of the company. But we also have plans for our church, don't we? Go and Grow is a big plan for St. Barnabas. It's what we plan, the things that we want to see happen in our church. And we have plans for our health as well. This one is kind of really dear to my heart. We never planned that my husband would be disabled. It wasn't in our planning at all. We'd planned that when we retired, we'd go and drive around America. That's not possible now because of his health. But we have plans, don't we, kind of which involve our health. We definitely have plans to do with this, finance. You know, we plan how much we're going to give. We're going to plan how much we're going to get in. We plan our mortgage. We plan our savings. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's a good thing to have a budget. And we have plans for our community, what we want our neighborhood to look like, what changes and transformations that we want to see in our neighbourhood. And then many of us, we saw at the referendum, have plans for our country. And it was really difficult when people's plans didn't come to fruition, when something happened that they didn't think was going to happen, when something happened that wasn't planned for. And then we have plans for ourselves, don't we? We have plans, the kind of people that we will be, the kind of people that we will become, the kind of things that we will achieve. But what happens when something goes wrong with those plans? What happens when we lose our job or we have poor health? What happens when the referendum doesn't turn out like we thought it would be? What happens if 10, 20 years down the line, we're struggling with the same old things in our lives that we never planned we would be struggling with? I want to invite you, just sitting where you are, to turn to the people next door to you and just have a chat for a few minutes and try and be as honest as you can be and give some examples where you can about how do we feel when what we've planned actually doesn't go to plan. When things go wrong and not to our plan, how do we feel? So just have a little chat together about that for a minute. Okay, well, Ash is going to come round and he is going to collect some of your answers. But Ash, would you like to start with your group, maybe at the front here?
Oh, yeah. So, Ryan, what's the question? how do you feel when things don't go as you planned?
I guess there's two things going on. There's, say, if I have to get a train at a certain time, or me and Georgia, we have to be at the platform for a certain time with a certain amount of stuff, then I'm really regimented and I get really stressed out if that goes out the window, which it often does, but not because of my fault.
Oh yeah, sure, it's not your fault.
And then the other thing is life plans. I'm a little bit like looser, like, oh, we'll just see what happens. We'll just kind of see what happens. So on one hand, I get really stressed out, and then the other, I'm quite relaxed and I stress other people out. Yeah. So,
what's the question? How do I think plan? I think a bit like Ryan, some things don't faze me. And I mean, I came to this country 23 years ago intending to stay for two, and things happen and that's okay. And usually it's a better plan than I had planned. Yeah. So that's okay.
Great. Who else?
And Ash, what about you? I heard you say something at the front.
Oh, yeah, I'm a trauma queen. I throw my toys out the pram, you know, even if it's just like a little plan that I had, you know, I was meant to spend that £5 on something and it went, all of my plans just get thrown out the window. My life is over. That's me. Who else? Come on. Let's have some others. Some hands up. Yeah, right at the back.
I think for me, no matter how much I plan, I always have a plan B.
Yeah.
At least I know I won't get so disappointed. I know that, no, plan A doesn't work. God lead me to plan B.
Oh,
I
yes.
Always consult
I'm
God,
right with
I
you.
Think.
Plan
I learned
B
that
and
a lot.
C.
Excellent.
Woman after my own heart, yes.
Hands up. More. Come on, we've got lots of reactions.
The question for me is, do we ever not have a plan? Even when we don't think about it, we actually do have a plan.
Yeah.
And even when things don't go right because we haven't done anything to get the plan going right, you're still upset that it hasn't gone right. So I don't care how many plans I've made, plan A, B, C, D, even if none of them come right. If plan A doesn't work, as far as I'm concerned, plan B was not supposed to be the plan. So I'm upset anyway.
Yeah, well, it's like intrinsically in us, isn't it, to sort it all out and plan it all.
Any more for any more?
It's all quiet. Ooh. On the Western Front.
Yeah, shy lot, aren't we?
Oh, hey, excellent, yeah. Well done. See, Ash and I aren't used to this. At church at 5, you ask anybody for their opinion and they overly share everything. So you really normally have to cut this bit down.
Yeah, what I discovered about myself is that I spent the best part of the last year and a half looking for a job. I had a couple of pockets of small work, but not enough. And I sometimes got very low. But what I've discovered about myself is that I'm actually quite persistent and I'm not down for very long.
Well done, you. Keeping going, even when our plans don't come about like we thought they would. Well, oh,
one more.
Sneaky in at the last.
You might want to use this for the quote of the week. Failing to plan is planning to fail.
Planning to fail. Yes, there's truth in that. And I wonder whether what the people in the story I'm about to read you thought about planning. I think they might have been people like you were talking about that actually had this plan in the back of their mind, even if they didn't kind of speak it out, even if they didn't have a list. Why don't you turn with me to Acts 1? If you haven't got a Bible, wave your hand. The lovely hospitality team would love to bring you a Bible. You can get your phones out at this point. I won't think you're texting your mate. It's okay, because we all have Bible apps on our phones and other things. But it's always good to have the Word of God in front of us. I now have a larger Word of God. Last time I preached at St. B's, I was in a dark spot, and I just couldn't see the Bible reading. I was like this. So I have acquired a larger version. Not that my eyes are getting old or anything like that. How are we doing? Are we all in Acts 1? Fantastic. In fact, I want to read you from the beginning of Acts 1, although we're going to be concentrating on verses 6 to 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus had began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The apostles, the disciples, thought they had found him. In fact, as they got to know Jesus more, they knew they had found the Messiah. They knew they had found the King. And there were certain things that they were expecting the Messiah to do. They were expecting the Messiah to beat the enemy, to beat the Romans, to come riding in on his white charger and smite them all. And another thing that they expected was for Israel to become the center of everything in the world, and that Jerusalem would become the center for worship as well. And from that place of worship, that peace would emanate everywhere, and that prosperity would come to Israel, because they wouldn't have to pay those horrible taxes to those horrible Romans anymore. And then he died. Their Messiah, who they thought was bringing in the kingdom of God, died. And what happened to their plans? What happened to the things that they thought were going to happen in their lives, in their family's lives, in their community, in their country, in their world? He was dead. What happened to their plans? So he was dead, and then he wasn't dead. He was resurrected, and he started to visit them. What on earth was going on? All those plans that they had, the things that the Messiah was going to do. How do you think those disciples, those apostles, felt when their plans didn't go the way they thought they were going to? So just turn back in your shoes and just imagine yourself for a moment in their place. They thought all of this stuff was going to happen. And then he dies and he's resurrected and it's not quite like they planned. So have a chat. Ash is going to run around and get some more answers again. Keeps him fit, if nothing else.
Gets me. Should we start with you guys?
Yeah, I guess I'd be angry. I'd want to do something to kind of protest against it, against what happened. Kick off.
Ryan would join the zealots. Excellent. And now.
They might have felt a bit tricked because they'd kind of gone along, given up a lot of stuff, and they thought at the end of it, well, there'll be a new kingdom that we can all live in, and then all of a sudden, no, none of that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'd be feeling scared, like all my hope has just gone.
Yeah.
I think there'd be some confusion as well, because if this has happened, like they followed this person who's then gone and died, and you know, then they've come back to life, which is not something you see all the time. So you think, okay, there's something's happening, and then to know that actually after all that there's not a plan, I think you'd have all those feelings, but there'd be a lot of, it'd be weird because you'd be like, this is obviously something that's completely different, never happened before, and sort of, yeah, I don't think I'd like it very much.
Yeah.
I think at the end of having watched Jesus come back and thinking, oh my God, it's going to be an even bigger plan than we thought. I mean, the guy comes back from the dead. Then to be told, actually, it's on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know. So you're actually not very important in this particular issue. It's an odd feeling.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would say at the end of the day is, would I then think to myself, well, if he can come back from the dead, maybe he might have a plan that could be bigger than what I could imagine. That's the only thing I would hold on to. Otherwise, I'd be really upset.
Yes. This side is doing better than this side. Yeah. How are we doing over this side? Were we discussing what we were having for Sunday lunch? Or did we have any thoughts about it?
There you go. Elizabeth.
Yes, our Hope North London administrator, Elizabeth.
They must have felt like children who suddenly lost their father.
Yeah. They must have felt very lost, all at sea. Anyone else? I mean, there must have been so many emotions, mustn't there, for them at that time. Bewilderment, disappointment that they'd been tricked. You know, you see a group of them going back to being fishermen. Really don't know what to do, so let's just go back to what we know. You see, they had their plans. And their plans were almost, everything was centralized in their flat plans. In their plans, it was all focused on Israel. It was all focused on Jerusalem. But you see, the king and his kingdom wasn't just for them. It wasn't just for Jerusalem. It wasn't just for Israel. It's like they wanted to breathe it all in and keep it all in. And yet the kingdom of God was coming, and it was about breathing it all out. The kingdom of God was going global, and it blew their minds and it blew their plans. Yes, it was for Jerusalem. Yes, it was for Judea, but it was also for Samaria, for those unholy people, for those people that the Jews looked down upon and wouldn't associate with. And it was for the ends of the earth, for people that they couldn't even imagine. You see, we sometimes get part of the picture. We get part of the plan, don't we? And yet God is greater than our plans. His ways are greater than our ways. So the plan that they were going to be involved with was so much bigger than they could ever, ever imagine. But they were getting a bit ahead of themselves in some ways. They were thinking a bit too highly of themselves in some ways. Verse 7 says, "And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" They had to remember whose authority they were working under, who had the authority, because ultimately God is God and he holds all of the authority. Do you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when life isn't quite going according to my plan, it's like I try and elbow God off his throne and clamber on there myself and try and be in charge of my life, my destiny, my ministry by myself when things aren't going according to plan. When we were praying this morning, I got that old picture that we've, you know, often spoken about actually people being in the car of their life and quite happily driving along, going where they want to go in the car of their life. And Jesus is very patiently sitting by them. And actually the truth is, who is driving your car of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? Feels much more comfortable when it's you, doesn't it? Feels much more comfortable when you're in control of this lot. It feels rather uncomfortable when we have to get out and go and get in the passenger side and let him drive our lives. If you were being very brave and very honest with yourself right now, who's driving the car? Is it you or is it God? Right now, who is on that throne? Have you elbowed God off of it? Just a little bit, just inch by inch. You've given him a little shove off so that you can be in control of your life. We need to remember that actually God is in control. He has the authority. So our disciples thought that this was all about breathing in and not breathing out. They'd forgotten whose authority they were working under, whose plan it was all about. But God was still going to use them. Even though he was going to blow their minds with plans that he had for them, he was still going to use them. Verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They were going to be his witnesses. They were going to announce the rule and reign of King Jesus. They were going to be his envoys. They were going to be his ambassadors, not to just their people, but to the whole world. And I love it that God uses us. He has all the plans. He has all the authority. And yet he chooses to use us. There's that wonderful picture, isn't there, in the beginning of Genesis, when God allows Adam to name the animals. He didn't need Adam to name the animals, but he chose to invite him into his plans and into his ministry. But first, before they could get involved with God's global plan, they needed power, they needed the Holy Spirit, they needed to breathe in the Holy Spirit so that they could breathe out into the rest of the world, into his global plan. They had started off as a people with their arms full of plans, things that they thought the King and the Messiah was going to do. And they'd all fallen by the wayside. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 talks about God having plans for us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that? That God has plans for you. They may be the same as these. They may be better than these. But God has plans for you. And those plans he has for you are to prosper you and not to do you harm. I guess Liz and Jan had to believe that, didn't they, when they were making the bold move that they're making. That actually God's plan for them was to prosper them and not to harm them. But are we ready to give up our plans and to pick up God's plans? Are we ready to put down our plans so that we can be filled again with the Holy Spirit? The problem is when we hold this lot too tight, as Jan was talking about earlier. If we hold this lot too tight, how are we going to receive the Holy Spirit? How are we going to receive the power that he wants to give us? We can't. We're holding it too tight. We have to put it down and let it go to receive the Holy Spirit from God. So this morning, we're going to do something a little uncomfortable. I'm sorry for making you uncomfortable. I don't normally like to make people uncomfortable. But I think that there is a point sometimes where we have to be uncomfortable to say to the Lord, actually, Lord, I am willing to put down my plans, my hopes, and my dreams. I'm willing to put them down at the foot of your cross. And to come and ask you to fill me again with your power so that I can go and do the things that you have called me to go and do. And you know what? God may well give you back some of your plans. He might tweak them a little. He might change them up a little, but he might well give you back your plans. Not saying that all of our plans are bad. But it's actually when we hold on to them too tight that we can't receive from God. There's no room, there's no space to do that. But I wonder, for some of you, as you lay your plans down at the foot of the cross, whether God will give you a fresh plan and a new plan, a plan that you never expected, that you've been all about breathing in. And he says, no, it's all about breathing out. That you start to get the full picture of what he's calling you to. So, on your chair, there is a piece of paper. Would you like to wave it in the air for me? And the band are going to come back up. And As we start to worship again, I want you to be very brave and start to write your plans down on that bit of paper. It could be plans for all sorts of things, your family, your community, your church, your country. But start to write them down. And then as part of our act of worship, I'd like you to roll it up to make a plan. And what we're going to do is we're going to take our plans and we're going to put them at the foot of the cross. It does mean you getting up out of your seats and walking and coming up here. And I know it's uncomfortable, actually, but putting our plans down in front of God is uncomfortable, friends. So we're going to come and put our plans at the foot of the cross. And then if you'd like somebody to pray with you, then the ministry team are going to be in the side chapel and they would love to pray with you. But if actually you just feel, no, today I just need to lay my plans at the foot of the cross. I need to be in that place, not holding tight, but in that place of receiving the Holy Spirit again and receiving all that God wants to do in your life. If you just want to then start to come back and worship, then do that. So if you want to be prayed for, go through this side, the side chapel, and somebody will pray for you. But if you want to just join back in with the worship, go round the rose window area. I'm just going to pray as we start to write down our plans. Lord, our plans, even our good plans, are not as great as your plans. Lord, thank you that we see in your word that your plan was not to just bless Jerusalem and Judea, but it was to bless Samaria, the ones who were different, and the whole of the world. And so, Lord, we come today and we want to put our plans at the foot of your cross. We want to put our plans at your disposal, Lord. Would you come and fine-tune them where they need fine-tuning? But Lord, where you have new plans for us, Lord, would you help us to pick up those new plans that you have?